Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
All two of you. I'm going to start by reading all of Psalm 98 to start our morning together. Sing a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He's remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So one of the podcasts I like listening to is one that's called Yo, Dat's Rank. The hosts are two friends in their early 30s. One of them is a friend of my son's and the other is his best friend. Their tagline is they rank everything from lame to great. So each week they put out a poll on social media and then the next week their podcast is telling the results of the poll. They give the top 20, they tell you what 11 through 20 are, and then they spend most of their time on 1 through 10. Now, if you were to rank this in terms of podcast professionalism, it probably wouldn't be super high on that scale. But it's funny, it's clean, and it's a really nice, easy listen for me. Now, to be clear, most of the audience and most of the people who do the poll are around the age of these 30-year-olds. So rarely do I agree with their top 10 of most things, although I will say I agreed that salted chocolate caramel is one of the best ice cream flavors, and The Proposal is one of the best rom-coms of all times. If you were to rank the best songs ever, what would you say? Excuse me, what are your top 10 songs of all time? If you're like me, first you'd have to say, well, what's the genre that we're talking about? Because I like this kind of song and I like that kind of song. Doesn't matter. What's your top 10 songs? Well, I will say that Yo, Dat's Rank did rank Christmas songs, Disney songs, and Taylor Swift songs, but I may be getting a little distracted. My question today isn't really what's your favorite song. My question is, what is the song that you sing? This morning, the psalm that I read said, sing a new song to the Lord. So I want to take a few minutes to look at the psalm and then pay attention to the songs that we're singing. First, we know that this call to sing a new song is not only found in Psalm 98. We find it in Psalm 33, Psalm 40, Psalm 96, Psalm 144, Psalm 149, Isaiah 42, Revelation 5, and Revelation 14 all give us a call to sing a new song. If I were to give you a brief synopsis of the song, I'd say it's broken into three sections. Who do we praise? The Lord. How should we praise? With jubilant song, with trumpets, with horns. And who should praise? Everyone, the world. But it's that first line of the psalm, sing a new song, that really drew my attention. And so on what grounds is he asking us to sing a new song? Why do we have to change our tune? Why or what does new mean? At first glance, we can see that the psalmist answers that first question of why for the marvelous things he has done. But beyond that, we don't have a lot of specifics because there's not a lot of historical information about this psalm. But here's what we do know. The idea of remembering what God has done would not be new to the Israelites. They had their tradition of telling and remembering the stories of God's great deeds. It was part of their culture. And we all have a basic understanding of what the word marvelous means. There's no hidden meaning behind this. It's something amazing or something wonderful. It reminds me of the verse in Genesis when Abraham is talking to the Lord about Sarah having a baby at her old age. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Is anything too wonderful for God?" And I think that's an example of some of the wonderful, marvelous things that this psalmist may be calling us to sing a new song about. I will point out that this singing a new song is not about God the Creator so much. Creation will sing its praise to God, but this really isn't about the element of God as Creator, but it's about God and the wonderful works he has done. The salvation that he's brought to his people. Israel sings a song of praise as they remember that God has been faithful to the promises he made, like the one he made to Abraham, or as they remember the Exodus. And in case you forgot just what a big deal the Exodus is, in Exodus chapter 18, we see what Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, we see what he says about the Exodus. He says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because he delivered the people from the Egyptians." So because of the Exodus, Jethro now knows that the Lord is greater than all gods. I'm not going to take the time to get into all the other marvelous deeds within the Exodus, but how many people do you know of that split the sea in half so that thousands and thousands of people could walk through on dry land? And God kept his covenant with his people through many, many marvelous works. I think it's possible that the psalmist's imperative to sing a new song is to look again at this God. Look at the wonderful works he has done. He is mighty to save. Sing a new song of praise. But as much as the psalmist calls us to look back at the marvelous things he does, the psalm is also prophetic, and it calls us to look forward to the marvelous things that he will do. As Christians, when we read the Bible, we have the perspective that is different than any of the authors, and it's different than any intended audience for the writing. Because with the exception of the book of Revelation and some of the other prophecy about God's kingdom fully coming, we know the story. We know what happens. Let me explain what I mean. Well, at first glance, it looks like only verse 9 is about prophecy and saying what God will do. Listen for a moment as I read to you a song that was written well after the psalm was written. But as I read it, I want you to look at verse 98, Psalm 98. We'll put that back up. And I want you to listen to me and look to see what sounds familiar within the two. I'm sorry. I guess the whole thing's not going to be up, but we'll figure it out. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. He's performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. His mercies extend to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever." This was Mary's song, Mary the son of Jesus. She most likely knew this psalm, and she helps us to see the prophecy that's in it. She sang this new song with the psalm woven throughout her song. It's not just because of the marvelous works that he has done for Israel, but it's for the salvation he was about to bestow through the Messiah. So if you can imagine us standing in the space and time of when the psalm was written, it's easy to look back and see the marvelous works that God has done. And we look forward to see the promise of the Messiah. But we can jump ahead on that time continuum and look back to see the marvelous works that God has done. And we can look back to see how Jesus fits into that. Because we can see the story even better than Mary could, we now include in the marvelous works that God has done the relationship of God with Israel and the fact that God sent his son, who was born of a virgin, healed the sick, fed the 5,000, was killed, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit. So while we stand on this timeline, we look back to Jesus, we look back to the marvelous works that God has done, but we also look forward to the hope contained in verse 9, where it says, "He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." I've said it before and I'll say it again. When we hear that word judge, for a lot of us, we don't feel hope, we feel fear. Excuse me, but I want to share this quote about this particular passage. "The character of the new social movement Jesus initiates manifests the justice and equity that are intrinsically intertwined with God's judgment. This is what makes the proclamation of the gospel good news. The good news is that the captive and the poor will be liberated, and the blind will be given sight. The good news is that no dimension of reality will be untouched by the redeeming act of God. The good news is that by God's grace we are justified in spite of our shortcomings. The whole of history and creation are restored, and all relations are set on the right path again. The judgment of God affirms and anticipates this new reality. The character of Jesus demonstrates what is intrinsic to God's judgment. And I think when we look at verse 9 with that, we can have more hope and a little bit less fear. So that's a little dive into the verse itself. But what is the new song we are to be singing? I think it's going to look different for each one of us, and I want to take a look at what this idea of new may look like for each one of us. But before we do, I want you to take just a second, if you haven't already, and think about the song that you usually sing to God. The song that you usually sing, or the song that you pray to God. Let's think about what new may mean to you. As you think about praising God for the wondrous works he's done, do you always go back to the same thing? Was there a big event in your life that you always fall back on when you think about praising God or singing a song of praise for him? Well, I certainly don't want to minimize that. Is there more? For me, several years ago, I was in a situation in which I was deeply wounded by somebody and I was rocked to the core. After a while, from now on, whenever I hear the verse, he lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, I think about that situation and I praise God for restoring and healing me. But there's no way that's the only time God has lifted me out of something yucky and set my feet on the solid rock. So maybe for me, there's a new song there. Or maybe you need to sing a new song because of what he will do. Have you always thought of praising God only because of what he's done and forgot to sing praise for what he will do? If you believe God is who he says he is, and Jesus has provided the way of salvation, and God's kingdom will come fully, maybe your new song needs to look forward rather than looking back. Or if you're new to this idea of following Jesus, you're still learning how to sing your song. So maybe your new song is more like the old is gone and the new has come as you think about your song. Or do you always sing and pray to God? Do you need to sing or pray to Jesus? Do you need to sing or pray to the Holy Spirit? The call for your new song may be as simple as changing what God's name is that you use in your song. Or maybe you're so focused on things that happened a long time ago that you forget to notice what he did yesterday. What marvelous thing that only God can do did he do in your life this past week? Or maybe you've gotten a little stuck. It's easy to get stuck in worship, in our routines, in our prayers, in our songs. Maybe you're simply being encouraged to mix it up a bit. One of the things I do almost every day is write in my journal some form of prayer. But the other day, obviously with this message in mind, I decided to write my prayer more as a psalm than just the ordinary words that come out of my mouth. And I have to say it felt really good to pray a little bit differently that day. Do you have routine prayers that maybe need to be renewed? I know it's easy to have bedtime prayers and blessings over our meals prayers, and there's nothing wrong with special prayers that we repeat. We will say the Lord's Prayer in a little bit as we approach the communion table. But maybe there's an invitation for something new in some of your routine prayers. Or maybe this idea of singing a new song isn't so much what you focus on, but how you are singing. Maybe you need to change the way you are singing. Listen to verses 4 through 6. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Every now and then when I'm teaching the kids, I like to remind them, and I think we get a little too stoic sometimes in the way that we sing our praise to God. And the best comparison I can give to them is sports. If the Eagles were to win the Super Bowl, how would your song sound? Yippee, yay, our team's pretty good. Or maybe it would be like my son, who has had been a faithful fan his whole life. He has had Baltimore Orioles decor in his bedroom from the time he was 8 until we moved out of that house 4 years ago. A team, I might add, who's had more losing seasons than winning ones. I want to show you his reaction when the Baltimore Orioles pitcher John Means pitched a no-hitter earlier this week.
Yes! John!
Don't you think sometimes we need to worship God that way too? I thought this as I was driving in. I could have showed you another video. That son is also a coach, and we were able to watch live stream his team winning a big game a couple weeks ago. And so I was videotaping the end of the game because his wife had to work. And so I'm close to the TV videotaping, and they win the final point, and I go, and that's all I did because I didn't want to make a lot of noise because the camera's right here. And Mike and our other son are jumping around, hugging each other. And my other daughter-in-law is in the background videotaping all of us being a little bit crazy. But the funny thing is that Mike and Ben are jumping and kind of yelling. And I'm silent, but I'm so intense. So praise doesn't have to be yelling, but it has to be intense. Sometimes we have to get more intense about the way we praise and sing songs to God. While the psalmist is telling us to sing a jubilant song, I want to pause and recognize that some of you may be in a season of lament, a season in which things don't seem too joyful. This may be your new song that you really don't want to sing. This may be new, this lament, because something new has come into your life that is worthy of lament. And to you, I say, sing it loud. Sing it out. It may be new because something new has come into your life. It may be because you've been peeling away some layers and you're finding something new in your life to lament over that you've been ignoring for a while. Even in your season of lament, I would encourage you to find a new way to try to sing a song of praise to God, even in the midst of that. And for all of us, this call to sing a new song of praise is not to ignore all the bad stuff going on around us. This is not a head in the clouds, ignore all the other stuff in life. But it is to re-examine the marvelous works that God has done or will do and to start singing a new song. I want to close by sharing this quote from Barbara Essex about a new song. She says, "Sing because only singing keeps alive the hope that God yet reigns. Sing and live as if God has acted again. Sing because the world is about to change. God is coming to bring righteousness and equity, making all things right. Sing not because you are happy. Sing because you have a song about a God who loves and cares and acts." Would you join me in praying together? Lord Jesus, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for this reminder to sing our song of praise to you. I pray that you would continue to write that new song in our hearts and our minds. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.